On the Record on News Talk.
Brought to you by PwC. Great minds think unalike. Different skill sets, diverse opinions, it all adds up to the new equation.
Well done to those of you who were able to enjoy an extra hour in bed this morning. I won't go into too much about it, but basically when you've got toddlers in the house, you don't quite get the same level of respite by the clocks going back. So some of you might be very grateful for the extra hour in bed afforded to you by the clocks going back at 2 o'clock by that hour. We do all, of course, dread the night that they go forward, eating into the sleep. There is an interesting history to time in Ireland, and many people might not realise that until relatively recent times, in the earliest 20th century, not only did we have our own time zone here in Ireland, in fact, we had several different time zones across the island. And Donald Fallon has come in from 25 minutes and 21 seconds into the future, which is a reference which will make sense very shortly to tell us all about them. Donald, time zones had some of the most famous names in Irish history pretty upset just over a century ago.
There's a brilliant letter that was uncovered in recent years from Constance Markovich, or Countess Markovich, as she's better known, in late 1916. A lucky survivor of the Rising, not far from becoming a member of parliament, complaining about the imposition of London time, as she saw it, Greenwich Mean Time, onto Ireland. And this, she claimed, was an action that would, quote, put the whole country into the Sinn Féin camp. Public feeling is outraged by forcing English time on us. And listeners may be wondering, English time? Yeah. You know, you might be asking yourselves, dear listener, how can time be English, Irish, or anything else? But surprisingly, the history of time, and, you know, whether 12 o'clock in Dublin is 12 o'clock in London, and the rest, has always been entangled in kind of surprising questions around politics, around transport, commerce, and more besides.
Of course, time is neither English nor Irish, but Babylonian, because they're the ones who came up with the structure of having 60 seconds in a minute and 60 minutes in an hour. But that's a Sinn Scéal Ella. Maybe we'll do that in some other, even more hidden history, some other weekends. The United States comes to mind immediately as a country where time can cause a bit of headache.
Yeah, sheer geographic scale, you know, means, you know, for example, in the United States, which can have the feeling of a continent and not a nation, in more ways than one, you know, politically as well as geographically. You have more than half a dozen time zones across all states, and not just in the US mainland. And I think, like all people, they in America, they relied on kind of local solar time, where towns and cities set clocks to noon according to the sun. But as railways and telecommunications improved in the 19th century, this just wouldn't do. And so it was in Britain and Ireland, that as the world was changing, as commerce was changing, there was a belief that 12 o'clock in Dublin had to be 12 o'clock in London, and 12 o'clock in Galway, and 12 o'clock in Belfast.
How exactly does this happen? And I suppose, can we even explain what time is?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a historian of early 20th century Ireland, so I'm kind of out of my pay grade here. But thank God for the late Mary Mulville, who's really sadly missed. She did an awful lot to celebrate science and to promote the role of science in Irish life, its history, a place in our lives. And she was just the woman who could do such things. And her brilliant book, Ingenious Ireland, which belongs on every bookshelf, because she was able to explain really complex things in a really simple way that even a social historian like me could understand. She said there's an intimate link between observatories, longitude and time. We need astronomers to tell us the time and longitude. Time and longitude are determined by our position relative to the sun, moon and stars. And I think, you know, all of us, no matter what we're doing last night, can comprehend what she was saying there. So, you know, it's from an observatory, Greenwich, that we get Greenwich Mean Time, which is, of course, the time zone off the neighbouring island.
Yes.
And today, ours too.
And we'll get to what Ireland's one was in just a minute. But I suppose before we even talk about that one, that the idea that there was a standard national Irish time zone, there were a whole host of Irish time zones across the island. And that then had loads of heaps of clocks all in different places with different times.
Yeah, and Irish people are famously bad at timekeeping. And, you know, when you're late for something, I always say to people, oh, we're running on Irish time today. But there was a time in the 19th century where the situation was bordering on the totally ridiculous. Cork lagged 11 minutes behind the capital. Belfast was 1 minute and 21 seconds ahead of Dublin. And there were others too across the island. And it wasn't uncommon to walk into a train station in kind of Victorian Ireland and be confronted by just an abundance of clocks. So Galway train station gives you the time for Dublin and the time for Galway. And listeners in Galway might be actually familiar with, in the city, the Galway Camera Shop on William Street, still there today. There's a clock over the Galway Camera Shop and it still says Dublin time. So this was very confusing for people who worked in commerce, for people who worked in transport. But from Galway to Dublin to Cork to Belfast, you were contending with a whole host of time zones on the island of Ireland.
So we mentioned Greenwich Mean Time because it's named after Greenwich Observatory, and that's where the meridian line was. The Irish version is Dunsink.
Yeah, I mean, eventually they managed to have a uniform time on the island of Ireland. Now, it wasn't in sync with the neighbouring island, but it was a step in the right direction. The Definition of Time Act 1880. It's a great name. And it extends Dublin Mean Time to the whole of the island. So in London, they have Greenwich. In Dublin, we have Dunsink. It's a really beautiful place, worth the trip. An observatory built in the 1780s, connected to the great mathematician William Rowan Hamilton, who was a director there. And Dunsink has the honour of being the oldest scientific institute in Ireland. Mary Mulville said, "The observatory was built on a hill outside the city, far from smoke and pollution, that better to see the stars. The design was state-of-the-art for its time. The telescope had its own foundations, independent of the building, so that it would not rock in strong winds." I mean, that's a brilliant mind who thinks of doing something like that. And we got our time from there. I mean, a number of prominent city centre clocks, like the GPO, for example, are connected to the observatory by cable. And there's even a time ball in Dublin on the ballast office by O'Connell Bridge, which fell every day at one by their time. And Joyce mentions it in Ulysses. Time ball on the ballast office is down. Dunsink time. So Dunsink was our Greenwich. But the question was, well, when would Greenwich and Dunsink match up?
There's also, aside from it being the home of the observatory, I think, was destroyed by a fire, I think, in the 1970s, which has led to the bizarre sounding but very true assertion that there's a little bit of moon rock in a dump in Finglas, because I think Ronald Reagan had given a piece of moon rock to every one of the US's allied countries or friendly nations. So ours was sent out to Dunsink, and then nobody realised in the fire that it had been lost until they just bulldozed everything and stuck it in a landfill, and then realised,
you're
going
to cause a Californian like gold rush.
That's
now.
It. People going out there,
listeners are descending on Dunsink,
panhandling there for moon rock in a dump outside Finglas. The problem of there being multiple time zones was perhaps then when efforts were made to unite the whole thing, but all of that was done at a time when nationalist feeling was very high.
Yeah, whatever about, you know, making sure Irish people's watches set the same time, bringing these islands into sync was much more contested, and the timing couldn't have been worse, really, because they start trying to do this in the summer of 1916. So, you know, nationalist feeling is running.
So it feels like punishment.
Very high,
then.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's a couple of bodies just laid in quicklime, you know, in Aberhill, and people are not particularly happy with the British Empire. And one letter writer to the Irish Independent basically sees this as an affront to Irish nationalism. He says, "The question is whether we should give up this mark of our national identity." I mean, imagine calling the time on your phone or on your watch a mark of national identity to suit the convenience of shipping companies and commercial travellers. And then what no one expected would happen. They thought this would be a pretty straightforward thing that would just fly through the House of Commons.
And bearing in mind as well, aside from the nationalistic thing, that this was, we were part of an empire which was part of a war, and this was all intended of trying to maximise the finite resources they had at the time.
Absolutely. And this thing becomes a political football. So Edward Carson, the Unionist MP, stands up and says, "I can't understand why this is controversial." And he says, "If certain honourable members stop this bill, I will see to it that the Dublin Reconstruction Bill or other bills will also be treated as controversial and not allowed to proceed." So, I mean, this issue of setting our watches in Ireland, it just kicks off in the House of Commons in all kinds of surprising ways.
And then maybe whether it deserved to be treated as a political football or not, it ends up becoming so, because when the order comes and the bill is passed and the posters go up to explain the new procedures, they go up bearing the name of the Lord Lieutenant.
Yeah, when summertime ends, and if summertime ever begins in this country, but when summertime technically ends in 1916, Ireland's time has to be put back 35 minutes to be in line with British time. And the proclamation that goes up telling people to do this at 3 a.m. in the morning, nonetheless, says, you know, "by order of the Lord Lieutenant." So something that was kind of scientific and relatively trivial kind of seemed like a political act to some people.
Yeah, and by the way, that's where the mention of when I introduced Donald as having come from 25 minutes and 21 seconds into the future, because that's how far behind Ireland was at the time as regards, like, Dunsink time was 25 minutes behind Greenwich. So then we were robbed of a small bit of time when we had to leap forward to jump into line with Greenwich. Even in post-independent Ireland, there are a few odd moments that where our clocks still end up falling out of sync with the neighbours anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's been noted that to save energy during World War II, the UK adopted double summer time, which I'd never come across this before in any history of the Second World War. But basically what it meant was they put themselves on the same footing as mainland Europe for all kinds of reasons, you know, conserving energy and other things. But we didn't follow suit. So it meant that we were an hour behind Northern Ireland, behind the North during the war.
And sure, Irish, that was sort of some black humour, all right?
Yeah, like you could literally see your neighbour's house across the border, for example, and there'd be an hour between you. Irish humour was great, though. There were all kinds of jokes in the papers about people leaving Newry and arriving in Dundalk before they'd left. You know, people could time travel across the Irish border.
Long before you were taking Concorde and arriving in New York, an hour before you left in London. Even now, there's still questions around time. There's always this argument about whether we should scrap the whole thing or whether we should still try and remain united for the sake of cohesion on the island and the like.
Yeah, like in 1916, people were kind of upset about this, not because it was anything to do with the time, but they felt it was an affront from London on their national identity. But there was an interesting piece done on the journal that AE to mark the centenary of the death of Dublin meantime. And they had a quote from Deirdre Clune, MEP, who was advocating scrapping the changing of the clocks, but for very different reasons. She said that having brighter evenings in winter would lead to improved outcomes for road safety, as the roads are statistically more dangerous from the hours of 4 to 7. Oh. There are obvious economic benefits, such as reduced energy consumption because of less need for artificial light in the evenings, a consequent reduction in CO2 emission. The very least we should do is have an informed debate on whether it's a good idea to continue winding the clocks back and forwards every year. There's something in that. You know, there is something in that. And look, many people will argue, though, on the other side of the coin, our lives are so connected to Britain now, commercially, politically, socially, the border, everything else, that to lose our common time zone would be madness. And on a morning that results in a 3 hour in bed, I'm inclined to agree with that side of the argument. But yeah, good point.
I'm glad that you got your extra hour in bed, because the 2 year, I haven't found the switch yet on the 2 year old where you sort of put her back to winter time. It's an interesting point, though, because we've been talking so much in the show today about COP26 and about trying to cut carbon emissions, that if you had some natural organic way of being less reliant on artificial light, it might only be a small contribution, but it's one to be made nonetheless. Donald Fallon, author of Henrietta Street from Tenement to Suburbia and presenter of the Three Castles Burning podcast about Dublin history. Thank you very much for that. You'll find Donald's podcast in all the places where you get your audio online.
On the Record on News Talk,
brought to you by PwC. Great minds think unalike. Different skill sets, diverse opinions, it all adds up to the new equation.